If you would turn, please, to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 24. We're going to take our scripture reading here from this chapter, verse 1. And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders, and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldst hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him." And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. Or else let these see him here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. Except it be for this one voice, that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day." And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them, and said, "When Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter." And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul, and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul, and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled, and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener, and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to his word that we have read this evening for his own name's sake. Verse 25 is a particular verse we want to dwell upon this evening, referring to Paul, "And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Let's take a moment and bow in prayer, ask the Lord for his help tonight as we come to his word. Our Father, we do look to thee for thy blessing. We know, Lord, that if thy word is to profit us, then thou must take it and apply it to our hearts, or else it will just be the dead letter of the law. But we desire thy word to live in our hearing, this evening, though we come to a portion and a chapter that we know so well. And yet, Lord, we pray that tonight there might be freshness in Thy Word. We consider these things, and we ask, Lord, that Thou would apply them to our hearts. We pray that all who hear may indeed be challenged. Oh, Lord, that we might be those who are found to be in Christ, and to have the hope of glory in our soul. We ask Thee to bless. Give help the preaching. We all need that help to hear. I need that added help to preach. Give to us words this night from Thyself. We ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to think this evening particularly about this encounter between Paul and Felix, because it commences with Paul, the prisoner, on trial before Felix, the Roman governor, but it concludes with Felix, the sinner, on trial before Paul, the preacher of the word. There was a turnaround, in many ways a role reversal from how it commences, because Paul's the prisoner, he's the one who's been called to face the governor. He's been kept in prison for a time, although he's had some degree of liberty. But now he's been called to come before Felix, and there's others who have arrived as well down from Jerusalem, and they're going to bear witness and give testimony against Paul. But as this encounter takes place, there is this role reversal. And what we have is Felix, in many ways, standing before Paul. Because Paul is there as the prosecutor of a higher court. He's there as the ambassador of the greatest judge of all, the judge that will always do right. Paul is there to speak on God's behalf. And when we read here in chapter 24, verse 25, that Paul reasoned with Felix, he's doing it on the basis that he is God's ambassador, and he's going to speak on God's behalf. And what he has to say to Felix will be the word of God to this man. Now, this is the second time that Paul has appeared before Felix. On the previous occasion, Felix has concluded that Paul does not pose a threat to the empire or to public safety or anything like that. And he commits him to remain in prison, but he gives him a great degree of liberty. People can come and visit Paul. We read there about verse 23. He commanded the centurion to look after Paul, but to give him this degree of liberty and to forbid none of his acquaintances to come to minister unto him or to visit him. So the incident that we are thinking about tonight is this second encounter that there was between Felix and Paul. Now, Felix brings this this encounter about for, well, he wants to go through the at least the outward forms of administration of justice. He is the Roman governor, after all. But there's also something else lies in the back of Felix's mind as well. He knows that he can release Paul if Paul is willing to pay the bribe. Because Felix is the type of a man who is not so much interested in justice as he is in lining his own pocket. Felix had a history of that. Felix was a slave. That was his background. He was a slave who came into contact with the Emperor Claudius. And he was favoured by that emperor. Felix pandered to all his master's vices while indulging his own wicked lusts as well. But through the favour of the Emperor Claudius, Felix obtained his freedom from being a slave, and he was swiftly promoted. And running through the ranks of Roman preferment, he's now the governor of Judea. He has now got this position where he can wield authority, but he does it in the spirit of a slave. He does it in the spirit of the slave. He does it in cruelty. He does it in lust. He does it with a desire for his own personal preferment and his own personal advancement. And that's why you read there about this practice that there was among Felix and his administration of justice. Verse 26, he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Felix was not so much interested in justice at all. It was more this personal advance. And yet out of this occasion that has been brought about by a number of reasons, yes, there's those that have come down to from Jerusalem and they're going to speak against Paul, but also Felix's own desire to hear Paul, and it tells us there that he brought him back on a number of occasions, and he's doing it with this desire, so thinking that somebody will pay for Paul's release. He's an important individual, he's well known, he's evidently stirred a lot of interest, and Felix thinks, well, there's the opportunity here to make money out of this. But what ensued was an encounter between Felix and the truth, as Paul reasons with this man. And here we have the details of it in verse 25 that we want to dwell upon this evening for a little time. I want you to notice here, first of all, Paul's timely sermon to Felix. It's one thing to preach the truth. It's another thing to preach the truth with relevance. And Paul preached the truth with relevance. He preached the truth, applying it to Felix's circumstances. Paul knew enough about this man. After all, he has been the governor of Judea for a period of time, and therefore people would have got to know him. Paul has got to know him and know a little bit about him, so therefore Paul can speak directly to this man. He can speak with relevance, and the things that he raises as he speaks to this man, they're going to be very appropriate to Felix. And the word of God is going to come with power to this man as Paul reasons with him. That word reasoned there in verse 25 is the word that you find some other places in the Acts of the Apostles translated as the word dispute. And if you turn back to chapter 19 here, you'll see something of the strength of the word. Paul wasn't being mealy-mouthed in any way when he was standing before this man. He wasn't overcome by the occasion. He didn't fear the fact that this governor held in his hands his freedom and he could have leave him in prison. He could sentence him to years in prison or whatever. Paul didn't care for any of these things. He was standing before this man and he was going to speak in such a fashion that Felix would know the power of the word of God. And in Acts chapter 19, verses 8 and 9, you read here about another occasion when Paul is speaking and the same word is employed. Acts chapter 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Now, twice over in those verses, in verse 8 and in verse 9, you'll find the word dispute. Or disputing, it is in both places. That's exactly the same word as reasoned in this verse that we're looking at in Acts 24 with regards to Felix. Paul is disputing, and there it gives you some little background and an insight into what is to be understood here. When Paul is standing before Felix and he's reasoning and he's speaking to this man, he's doing it boldly because that's what is given to us there in chapter 19, verse 8. He went into the synagogue and spake boldly by the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading. Paul is doing it with boldness. Paul's doing it in faithfulness because in verse 9, we read there how he, when there was those who hardened their hearts, spake evil of that way, how Paul departed from them, separated the disciples, those who had believed. Paul was a separatist and he separates himself, but he continues on the preaching and the reasoning and the disputing. It says that he did it daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So when we think of boldness and we think of faithfulness, that's what Paul is doing here now when he's standing before Felix. And even though Paul would have been in chains, he's the prisoner. There's Felix, the governor. And there's all of those who are no doubt with him, attendants, others that have come down who are going to speak against Paul and represent the other side. They all may be gathered there, but Paul's going to reason, and he's going to do it with boldness, and he's going to do it with faithfulness, and he's going to do it with relevance. Because he's going to speak to Felix very directly. It's as if there is nobody else there at all in that gathering. Just Paul and Felix. Really just God and Felix. Because Paul is speaking directly to this man. You'll notice there in verse 25, he reasoned first of all of righteousness. A very timely subject for an unjust ruler to be challenged upon. Because as Paul here speaks to Felix, he brings to mind the defrauded. And those that have been robbed of their possessions and of their inheritance, those who are outside begging bread because of how they have been treated, so that Felix might indulge himself in those things that he lusts after, the bribes that he sought to defer justice and to corrupt justice are being recalled and brought to mind as Paul reasons of righteousness. And here's Felix sitting on the judgment seat, this man who is distorted justice and encouraged wickedness and is happy to take a bribe. Paul is bringing it all to mind as he reasons about the unrighteous way that Felix has lived and exercised his rule and exercised his authority. He next of all reasons of temperance. not in the sense that we may understand that term today to refer to refraining from the consumption of alcohol, but in the wider sense of the word. Self-control is what the word means as it appears here in the Word of God. Somebody who is temperate is somebody who masters their desires and controls their passions, certainly their sensual, sinful appetites. Well, that's something that Felix wasn't. And again, Paul is speaking with relevance here to this man as he reasons of temperance, because that's the very thing that Felix was not doing. Because it tells us there in verse 24 that Drusilla is with him. It says, after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. She was the very epitome of Felix's intemperance. It could be said of her, as it was said by the Saviour of the woman at the well in Samaria, he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. Because both Drusilla and Felix are immoral in their lifestyle, and Drusilla has deserted her previous husband at the instigation of Felix, and therefore the both of them were a sinful, self-indulgent pair. And Paul is reasoning of temper, self. And we can see just how close he's cutting to the mark as he does this. Paul's not speaking in generalities. He's pressing home the point because of the character and the history of this particular individual. And then he moves on there to judgment to come. Because Felix and Drusilla as well thought that they could do anything without fear of retribution, ever being called to account. Felix is the governor. He thinks he has got license to corrupt justice, to take the bribe, to do whatever he wants. He thinks that he can get away with this. But Paul begins to tell him of a day of judgment, a day of reckoning, a day when he's going to be called to account to a higher court and a higher judge, a day when everything that he has done will be brought to light, and all the things that he has tried to conceal and hide and cover up in order to hold on to his position and to obtain what he has, it'll all be brought to light and the books will be opened. Paul begins to reason of judgment. Felix is standing before a higher court even here now as Paul speaks and as he reasons of these things. Felix can sense what it is to stand before this higher judge. It's a timely sermon that Paul preached to Felix. And may the Word of God ever be timely to our hearts. And may it reach our heart, may it be applied by the power of the Holy Spirit. May it bring us to the thought of coming judgment. There's a day coming when we too will stand before the judge of all the earth. There is judgment to come. There might be judgments in this world of one degree or another. God often judges nations in this. God judges individuals in the world. It's nations that are often judged in this world. And you take some of the great nations, some of the great empires of the world, God has judged them and dealt with them. Daniel tells us that how God raises up one and pulls down another. And he does it oftentimes dealing with them because of their conduct and their actions as nations. He deals with nations in this world. There's coming a day when he will deal with them. There is judgment to come. And may that thought come home to us tonight afresh. There is judgment to come when sin has to, and that the Lord would press his word home just to our heart in the same way as he did. I want you also to notice here in this verse how Felix was affected by this timely sermon. Now, everything physically was to Paul's disadvantage. He's in prison dress. More likely, he's in chains. And there they are, clattering and clanging together as he moves. He's the man who's been charged with sedition. He's the man who's been charged with stirring up the people and creating public disorder. He's the individual that we have read about there that at the start, whom Tertullus has made the object of his scorn and trying to make him out as a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among the Jews, a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. All of these things have been said against Paul before he's ever got the opportunity to speak and to defend himself. All of these things have been thrown out against him. Humanly speaking, physically speaking, everything seemed to be at Paul's disadvantage. And yet, as this man begins to reason of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, we read that Felix trembled. But isn't the prisoner trembling? And I'm sure many's a prisoner trembled before Felix, especially when somebody came along as Tertullus here and he's able to wax eloquently and bring all of these charges and make all of these accusations against the prisoner. I'm sure there was many a prisoner who trembled before Felix and wondered what's going to be the outcome of all of this. But Paul isn't trembling. Felix is trembling. It's Felix who feels the arrow of the word. And as it has been delivered by Paul, the orator has spoken, but now Paul, the preacher, is speaking. We read there in the opening verses how this man, Tertullus by name, is an orator. And they have hired him to speak against Paul. And he's got a great way with words. He's skillful in his use of words, and he's eloquent in how he can speak and put the words together and lay the charges against Paul. He's eloquent as well in how he gains Felix's favour. He's good at the flattery. Everything seems to be against. But as soon as Paul begins to preach, as he begins to reason, and he's delivering these arrows sent from his bow as he preaches, and they pierce the heart of this governor that is before him, and Felix begins to tremble. Felix begins to tremble. That word tremble has the idea of being enveloped by fear. To be enveloped by fear. That's why he's trembling. Maybe physically trembling. But there's the thought of fear that is coming over this Roman governor. I'm sure it was a long time since he ever felt. Here's this man who seems all-powerful, at least in that part of the world. He's the governor. Everyone is under his rule and under his authority. And as long as he keeps that Roman province quiet, his superiors will be very happy with him. And they don't care how he keeps the Roman province of Judea quiet. As long as he does keep it quiet and keeps the absence of trouble away from it, they'll be content. In many respects, Felix has a free hand. And I'm sure it was a long and many a day from Felix to tremble. But as Paul preaches that day before him, and as Paul reasons of these things, this man begins to tremble. There is this fear that comes over him. And that word tremble, it's actually two words in the New Testament language put together. And as I say, if you wanted to break it down and translate it as the two words are, that's how you translate it. It means enveloped by fear. Fear begins to descend. It's not fear of Paul. After all, Paul's the prisoner. As I say, more than likely in chains, if not in chains, certainly with guards very close to him at hand. And Felix only has to click his fingers and they'll soon lay hands on Paul. So it's not fear of Paul that's making Felix. Something else is making this man to tremble. It's the power of the Word of God as it hits home. Ultimately, it's the Spirit of God working in the heart. Wicked men will only tremble when God the Holy Ghost works upon their heart. A troubled conscience is not some natural force working within us that will cause us to tremble. There's something more that is happening here. It's not Paul's force of argument. Though he's speaking boldly, though he's speaking faithfully, though he's speaking directly and with relevance to Felix's own situation, it's none of those things that are making this man to tremble. What's making this man tremble is the word has been applied to him. God is speaking to Felix like he has never spoken. Now this man knows something of what Paul is speaking about. Because if you go back there a little bit, verse 22 of the chapter, it says, when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them. So Felix isn't an ignorant man in the sense that he doesn't know anything about the gospel. He doesn't know anything about Christianity and the followers of Jesus Christ and the message that Paul is preaching. It would indicate to us there that Felix does know something. This is not the first time, in other words, that these things have come home to him. He's heard them before. It tells us that he has a knowledge, even more perfect knowledge. He's more knowledge than some. Maybe there were other instances when Christians were brought before Felix and he had to pass sentence upon them. But Felix knows to some degree. He has some knowledge of the things of God. Paul is speaking to him, and it's not as if he's hearing these things only for the first time. But what is happening for the first time is that the Lord is speaking like he's never spoken. And Felix is trembling. And God in his mercy to this ruler is speaking in such a fashion that this man trembles. That's a mercy from God. If God's word ever makes us to tremble, mercy from God. If God's word ever brings down upon us that sense as well of fear, of the need to fear God, of the need to fear the judgment, of the need to fear sin and the end of sin, knowing that be sure your sin will find you out. If God speaks in such a fashion that there's a fear that comes down upon us, that's something to be seen as a mercy from God. And this man was certainly experienced. That brings us to the last thing I want you to consider here this evening, and that's Felix's procrastination. He heard a timely sermon. It was very relevant to his case, his circumstances, his life. It has come home to him with power. He has been caused to tremble under this word. But timely as it has been, both by content and by the fact the Lord has spoken very powerfully and very directly to him, Felix is going to delay. Felix is going to procrastinate. He's going to put the matter off. And we have his words there in verse 25 to Paul. He says, go thy way for this time. Go thy way for this time. It's not that he's finished administering this case. And he's telling the keepers of the prison to take the prisoner back to the prison cell. That's not why Felix is telling Paul, go your way. Off you go. Go back to where you were. Felix is wanting Paul to leave because he's been disturbed by Paul's message. And it is a sop to his troubled conscience to stop it smarting what he says to Paul, not this time, not. And he makes excuse for delaying, deciding for Christ. Well, he makes the promise that he'll hear Paul at another time. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. Go thy way. But what Felix did not realize was not only was he telling Paul to go his way, but he was telling the Spirit of God to do the very same. And that was far more serious. It's one thing to tell another human individual to stop, be left alone. You don't want to hear any more what they have to say. It's another thing entirely to tell the Spirit of God that. And that's really what Felix is doing here. God is speaking. It is the Lord who's making Felix to tremble. It is the Lord who's applying the word with power to his heart. So when he speaks to Paul and he says to Paul, now go your way at this time, Felix is really saying that to the Lord. He's telling the Spirit of God to leave him, not to smite his conscience with conviction anymore, not to pierce his heart with the power of the word of God to his own life and his own circumstances. He's telling the Lord to leave him, and there's nothing more serious, because God does leave people. That's a serious thing. God does leave people. There are times when the Lord speaks, and the Lord speaks powerfully to individuals, even when to the extent that they tremble. And there are times when people say to the Lord, as Felix here says on this occasion, not this time, go thy way. And the Lord does that very thing. The Lord goes his way. You see, Felix is here looking for a convenient season. That's what he tells Paul. When I have a convenient season, when I have a more suitable time, Not just at the present, but when it suits at another time, I'll call for it. I'll be interested in hearing then. I'll address these matters that have come home to my heart at that particular time. And he tries to take the blunt edge of what he has to say to Paul, of dismissing him and telling him to go his way. And he says to Paul, when I've got another suitable season, I'll be more interested then in hearing what you have. Felix thinks that he can get right with God in his time. And again, that's a fatal mistake. It's a fatal mistake to tell the Lord to go his way. It's a fatal mistake as well to think that we can get saved in our convenience. There is no convenient season other than now. Because nobody is guaranteed another. Nobody's guaranteed another opportunity. And that's why there is no such thing as another convenience. Nobody is guaranteed of that at all. And therefore, Felix is making a fatal another. Would that convenient season ever come? Well, there were other times when Paul came before Felix. Because if you look there at verse 26, it says he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. So there were other times the Lord did spare Felix. He lived on after this particular encounter with Paul. And he sent for Paul, and he brought Paul up from the prison cell. He heard what he had to say. But never again Felix trembled under the preaching of Paul. Never again do you read of Felix trembling. And all through that period of 2 years, because the time is given to us there in verse 27, after 2 years, there's a new governor that comes. Felix goes on to other things, and there's a new governor that comes, and Felix leaves Paul bound. And over that period of 2 years, he sent for Paul. In fact, the words there at verse 26, he sent for him the oftener, which would suggest that he sent for him many times. It wasn't just now and again or one off. Or a couple of times over those 2 years. The words would suggest, although it's not specifically told how many times, but it would suggest surely that Felix sent for this man a number of times. You never read of Felix trembling. There was no communion season again. Though he may call for Paul, and he did. He had that power in an earthly sense. He could command Paul to be brought. He could even give Paul the opportunity to speak, and I'm sure Paul took that opportunity. But he could never summons the Spirit of God. That's the thing Felix could not. Oh, he could command Paul to appear before him, but he couldn't summons the Spirit of God. And that's the thing that was lacking. He's the one who made Felix tremble in the first place. And with his absence, it doesn't matter what Felix did tremble. He's never going to feel the power and the impact of the Word of God as he did before. And Felix lost his soul by procrastinating. He never had a convenience. That was his season. That time when Paul reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. And Felix trembled. There was this fear that came down upon him, fear of God and fear of judgment and fear of the end of sin. That was Felix's, and he never was. And if the Lord speaks to us and challenges us about our need of him, then we are to see that as a convenience, never have enough. That's our season to get right with. That's when a sinner needs to seek him. That's when they need to turn from their sins and call upon him. That's when they need to seek him while he will be found and call upon him while he is, because there might never be. And how tragic. Felix moves on. He leaves the post of being the Roman governor of Judea and moves on to something. He was leaving behind that opportunity, that golden opportunity that he had to get right with God. And many as an individual moves on to other things, life seek, but they have missed. Wherever life takes them, whatever direction they may go, they have already missed, and they'll never have enough. Oh, may we make sure we do not waste, but may we be those who seek the Lord. May the Lord bless his word. Let's bow together in prayer.